You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with Elizabeth Avery, founder of Solo Trekker for You, a free internet site that connects solo travelers with attractively priced 4 to 5 star hotels and tours, plus great airfare deals. Although their focus is solo travelers, couples and groups are welcome as well. Elizabeth, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
Well, hi, Eric. Good to speak with you today.
Good to speak with you as well, and good to have you. So first of all, tell us, why would one want to travel solo?
That's an interesting question. When I began the business back in 2012, one of my friends said to me, no one ever travels alone. But the reality is, just in the United Kingdom and the U.S., there are 21 million travelers that go alone. And I think sometimes people don't recognize themselves if they're a business entrepreneur, if they're a small business. Unlike a large corporate enterprise, you pretty much go by yourself. What that means is that you have more trouble getting access to the better deals, and you pay more. If you're going on vacation and you find that your friends can't go because everybody's working these days, or they have different interests and obligations. For example, some of my friends love to go on safaris and others want to go to Fashion Week in Europe. So what you find is nobody's available and nobody has the same interest at the same time. So you can either give up your vacation time or wait until the next period of time that there is a group forming. So that's why I put together Solo Trekker for You, because I had been to 50 states and 57 countries, and I constantly paid too much, and it's really hard to get the best deals.
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense. So how do you get attractively priced deals for those especially looking to travel solo?
I think one of the things that's very interesting, I looked at the research, and the good news or bad news is the internet has a lot of data, but because it has so much, if you put in solo travel, you probably get literally a million hits. So then the question becomes, how do you find the kind of trip that you want? One of the things that research does show is, strangely, the better deals appear to be published on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I don't know whether it means that the industry thinks on the weekend you're already gone and you don't want to look for the next trip. And many of those are 24-hour windows that you'll see something like hotels at half price or 30% off and a lot of the airline deals. But the tricky thing is, it doesn't mean just because the better deals are published on Tuesday and Wednesday that those are the best travel days. And to look at the best deals, you have to look at what's the destination. So if you're a person thinking you can't wait to go up to Manhattan and go to the art galleries or have business meetings, what you'll find, Eric, is on Monday to Thursday, the hotels are the most expensive because they have that huge traffic coming in. By Friday night, the hotels are down in Manhattan. But if you stay on Saturday, you've got the crowd coming in from the weekend, and the rates go up again. So it'll be different, say, in Chicago than you're going to find in New York. But you have to think about what time of the year and what time of the week am I traveling, and is that the very best time to get a good price? Very surprisingly, when the weather is still really good in southern France, around September 9 and 10, a lot of the hotels already start marking down, even in the Riviera, as much as 50% off by the second week.
Now, what are some other ways to save when traveling alone?
Well, I think one of the things I've often done, and it depends on how concerned you are about the trade-off between price and quality. One is that I've traveled off-season many times. For example, everybody loves to go to Europe in the summer. I spent a very chilly but interesting Thanksgiving in Prague, Budapest, and Vienna. Another time I went to France in January, and if your objective is going to art galleries rather than going to the beach, usually the hotels in Paris are down about 40% in January. So traveling off season makes a lot of difference. A second thing is that location makes a difference, and you have to think about, are you really interested in going to see castles and art galleries anywhere in Europe, or is it a particular location? Because in Madrid and in Spain in general, the prices are staggeringly less than you'll see in France, and yet the same kind of vacation can be put together where you see some of the same kinds of historic sites. So that I think that Spain is a very, very good location at the moment. Secondly, Central and Eastern Europe tend to be very, very good prices because they've not yet come up to the level of what you see in the West. I think particularly when you get outside the largest cities, for example, outside of Prague, you can find five-star facilities that are, I don't know, maybe $150 a night, whereas if you're in the city, that's not going to be the case. So if you get about an hour outside of a major city, but where you're comfortable driving, taking a subway, taking a commuter train, that too is a much better value. For example, in Paris, where hotels can easily run $300, $400, $500, one of the challenges would be if you can stay at something like the Sheraton Airport Hotel that has very, very good discounts, you can still jump the train, the metro train, into the city in a fairly good amount of time. And the prices are so much less that that's something I've done as well. So sometimes an airport motel may not be very scenic, but they can be great ways to combine seeing the things that you want to, but keeping the cost down. So that's another kind of thing that I think is very helpful. Another is I look at substitutions. Many years ago when I was traveling, I really wanted the glorious South Pacific vacation, Eric. And so what I thought about was, Tahiti. And when I did my research, I found that Tahiti was three times the price because hotels were very expensive of some of the other islands. So I like to call a regional air carrier, especially ones that are not as well known here in the U.S. So I called Air New Zealand, and they said, well, have you thought about Rarotonga and Aitutaki? Well, as you can imagine, I'd not thought of them because I'd never heard of them. But I had a gloriously interesting vacation in those two islands, and they were about 1,000 miles west of Tahiti, but it was just the same kind of South Pacific flavor. Another example is I wanted really to see what it would be like to ski in Europe. And if you look at the prices in Switzerland, it's so very high that I found that Andorra, located between France and Spain, is a tiny little country. Had fantastic skiing for all levels, and so it made for sort of an interesting village approach, but it didn't have the prices that you would see in a place like France and Switzerland. So sometimes if you think about, is your objective to be in the mountains or to be skiing or to be in the beach or the Pacific, or is it that you have to have Tahiti, you have to have a specific destination? And I think that is the kind of challenge that people have to look at. And as a sideline, sports vacations are especially costly. And, of course, now that airlines charge you for even a modest carry-on in many cases, if you're carrying skis or other equipment, or if you rent them, either way, a sports vacation abroad can be very expensive. One of my friends is very keen on apartment or house swaps. I've not done that myself. I know that there are a number of websites that you can look at. I think one of the concerns I have, especially if you're a woman traveling alone, if you do a house swap and you find, even if it's in a good neighborhood, that you don't have transportation that's easily available, do you want to be kind of foraging around trying to find the different places that you'd like to see? So I think that's an issue. Another one is I always try to combine every business trip I have, especially abroad, as a way to also stop and go sightseeing or combine an adventure like going to the rainforest, and I think that's been very helpful. For airline deals, it's a little bit tricky because I think the consolidators often have very good pricing, and it may be below some of the well-known booking engines like Expedia, but you really have to surf the net because there's tremendous variation, and they may have a published rate, and by the time you add taxes and other fees, especially now that luggage fees are coming into play, that can not be quite what you had been looking at. One of the things I almost always, when given the choice to have a great trip or save money, I almost always fly economy. I've flown economy to Australia. Not many people will do that. To China, to the longest nonstop flight in Southern Africa, to Johannesburg. So I find that that's usually a tremendous value. And some of the airlines, especially domestically, I've noticed that American had for $50 add-on, where you could, in some flights, have what basically is three across, but the middle seat is blocked. So that means that you have more room to put your carry-on items. You have more room to stow underneath that seat. And you also can really kind of spread out. So I thought that was a lot better than first class. And so for $50 one way, I'm very keen on that. Some of the other airlines, like when I flew to China, had for a modest add-on what they would call something like Economy Express. So those can be ways rather than just trying to go business class. One of the problems I found trying to use business class upgrade with miles when I was going to Australia is that I was something like number 9, and when I got to the airport, other people with more miles showed up, so it really was not something that was going to work. So I think if you have to consider, do you want the funds to be spent on upgrading the airline, or do you want the funds to be spent on tours and hotels? I always recommend the latter, but do comparison shop, because between some of the consolidators and published rates, you may find something very attractive. I think on the hotel front, a lot of times when a new hotel is being opened, the rates may be much lower, or if you notice that there's a new renovation that has just reopened, those typically will have the better rate. And you don't want to pay for what you don't use, so rather than spend $25 on internet and Wi-Fi, if it's not free, better to go to the cyber cafe and have a latte while you check your emails for a dollar or so. In addition to that, a lot of the hotels you'll see, what you're really paying for is a health club. You may not even get a chance to use it. One of the things I do in just about every country in the world is I'm very good at finding mini marts. And so if you're staying on the right bank in Paris and you're just dying to have bottles of water and croissant, I find that there's always a mini mart that somebody working in the hotel can point me to so that I can have some snacks in the room. Another thing I do is I always buy birthday gifts, Christmas gifts for friends and family when I'm abroad, but instead of going to these tour shops, I try to go as much as possible to the local stores where other people are shopping. So that can be a great advantage, especially if they're having sales that are not the same as ours at home.
Certainly some great information and tips here today. We're joined by Elizabeth Avery, founder of Solo Trekker. For you, a free internet site that connects solo travelers with attractively priced 4 to 5 star hotels and tours, plus great airfare deals here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Elizabeth, how safe is solo travel, especially for women?
I've never had a real problem, and as I said, I've been, you know, to 57 countries, and so I've been to Sub-Saharan Africa alone, West Africa, the Middle East alone, and certainly to Europe. And what I find is that planning makes a difference. First of all, when I book my hotel, I think about, do they have restaurants inside, so that even though it's a bit boring, if there's not a safe way to go out after dark, as I did in places like Cairo with a driver, are there ways that you can have like a great dinner in the hotel? And secondly, when I book the hotel, I always ask them, what is a safe taxi that can be taken to the hotel? Because in some countries, I was warned, one in Africa, where there was a low-grade civil war, that not every taxi was considered safe. So if you are picked up the moment you arrive and you get to a very good hotel, I think that that makes the difference. And some of the things to look at in a hotel, and I always think about this, is it accessible to outsiders? Like, is the back door open all day or at night? You know, are the guest rooms open? People can go right up the elevator. Are the room numbers shouted out? And so these are issues, I think, to consider. Another is that I've traveled to very remote areas, like up the Rio Negro in the Brazilian Amazon. But I don't do that alone. And a great way to do it is to join up, for example, with a river cruise so that you can come independently, join a group, and then go forward from there. And so you have a ready-made group, but you have your own privacy by having your own cabin. And I think sometimes an area that might seem safe in our own country may not be necessarily safe abroad. And so you have to think about, is that beautiful wide open park, if you're standing there, especially as a woman alone and a foreign visitor, is that a good idea? I did that once at a particular park in South Africa, and somebody later said to me, that was not a great idea. And I hadn't registered that I was sort of the only person standing in the midst of a very large sort of countryside area, and there was simply nobody else around that I could see. Another thing is always, you know, split up your credit cards and your cash, and be especially wary in a train station, because unlike an airport, there's easy access in and out. And I did get robbed one time in broad daylight in a Western European train station. I wasn't harmed. I was very annoyed. But when people come rushing by you in the train or in the station, they can just dash off in the other direction. And then you realize they have some of your valuables that were tucked in your purse. So I think in a train station, you have to be very watchful. I also say don't get sick. I always take my malaria pills, my shots, my vaccines. I always check all of that before I go, and I've never had any kind of illness abroad. So I think it just requires giving some thought to what you're doing and some planning.
Lastly, what are some great, well-priced destinations for solo travelers?
In the current time, Spain is a very, very good value. You may know that they still have a large unemployment problem, but they've never had quite the high pricing that you see in France. I do see in Croatia on the beaches, Slovenia on the ski slopes, and in the Czech Republic, there's some wonderful chateau hotels. I think in general that you'll find that those are regions that are going to always be less expensive than the larger urban areas.
I can certainly say this conversation is certainly exciting to talk about, and we could definitely go on for a long time. We'd love to have you come back sometime in the future to tell us more, but how about telling our listeners where they can get more information about Solo Trekker for you online?
Okay, great. We have the website at www.solotrekker, so it's SOLOTREKKER, then the number 4 and the letter U.com. And we also have a book available at Amazon that is on your first solo vacation that might be of interest to some people who've not given a try of that previously. And that is available as an ebook without a Kindle on Amazon.com.
Excellent. And in conclusion, any closing thoughts or a final tip?
No, I would say simply that if you have the luxury of being flexible as to your destination and when you travel, you can get some excellent bargains. So the more that you can be open to both of those, the better the pricing and perhaps the more exciting the adventure.
Well, Elizabeth, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome. We've been speaking with Elizabeth Avery, founder of Solo Trekker. For you, a free internet site that connects solo travelers with attractively priced 4 to 5 star hotels and tours, plus great airfare deals. And once again, the website of reference is solotrekkerforyou.com. And this has been Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.